So yesterday we began the world of Adam HaMazik. Yesterday we began to shift our attention to Perek Hetz and Regel. And in doing so also Perek Chovel. Our Mishnah introduced us, the Rosh of Rishona, to Adam HaMazik B'Shogeg, and perhaps also Adam HaMazik Ba'Onas. Just an example, just to get your mind thinking about this, and then we're going to dive into the next piece of Gemara, but just to get you thinking practically what Adam HaMazik B'Shogeg could look like, Rav Schachter has a tshuva about the following situation, Simon Nun Aleph in Ginas Egos, Simon 51, opens with a fascinating discussion about Grama and Garmi. He has different articles in different Sfarim about Grama and Garmi. And this one opens with the following scenario. I'm not going to answer now, but just to get us thinking. Fellow had investments and in securities, which he decided to liquidate. Sold them, put them into money market. He gets at some point he gets a hot stock tip from a friend of his that his friend is convinced that a certain stock is about to take off. Not illegal insider trading. So he calls his broker and he says, so a broker works at the firm that's holding his money market. I need you to take the cash and invest everything, all the cash in the money market account in stock X. So the guy says, okay, I'll take care of it. 5 minutes later, the fellow calls the broker, no, did you make the purchase yet? He says, I didn't have a chance to yet. I'll take care of it. 5 minutes later, did you make the purchase yet? I didn't have a chance to take care of it. He says, I have other customers who are regular customers. You're only, you're not really a regular customer of mine. You just happen to have your money market. The money market that you purchased is with my company. You're not a regular customer of mine. Let me take care of the regular customers. I have a series of orders you need to handle for them. And as soon as I get through the list, I'll be glad to take care of your purchase order. And again he calls. So the broker is getting annoyed. So the broker realizes, fellas, it's going to take me some time to get around to this, and he's going to be calling every 5 minutes. The broker is Meshaker. And he says, yeah, I took care of it. That's a great, amazing, thank you so much. End of the day, the market closes. Right? After 4 o'clock, at 4 o'clock the market closes. And the guy calls the broker late that evening. He's like, wow, I made a, thank you so much, I made a killing. It's like he was tracking the stock, the amount, the number of shares that he bought, the amount went up, incredible. The broker's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but you don't own any shares of that stock. He's like, what do you mean? You bought them all for me. It's like, well, I forgot to. He says, what do you mean? But you told me you bought them. He's like, well, I wasn't telling the truth. I wanted to get you off my back. I was going to take care of another few minutes. I just wanted to get you to stop calling me. And then I forgot about it. And now you reminded me, now the market's closed. I forgot the market's closed, but now it already gained. It's too late. The broker says, I'm so, so sorry. I'm sorry I lied to you, and I'm sorry, I'm so sorry I forgot about it. This guy's like, sorry? You're Adam HaMazik. You caused me a loss. The shogun! But you caused me a loss. The guy says, it wasn't my fault. Says Adam HaMazik. Says, Mishnah, Chavav HaMeiz. Chavav Meral and Baba Kama. Adam Mu the Olam Bein B'Shogeg Bein Amazing. You're Adam Mazik B'Shogeg. I don't think you were malicious. There was a bit of Pshia there. You lied to me. And you were a Mazik me. Now, whether or not that indeed is a case of Adam HaMazik is a question worth asking. And as we progress through the upcoming Sugis over the course of the next block, we'll have a chance to perhaps take a look some more at direct and indirect causality, Grama and Garmi, in the world of Halacha, and specifically in the world of Adam HaMazik. It's not like he accidentally, you know, backed into the fellow's crystal glasses and knocked him onto the floor. It's obviously more indirect. I didn't buy as I was supposed to, as a result of which I indirectly caused you a loss. That's sort of like A fascinating example of Adam Mazik Shogeg. And also just sort of gets us thinking about Shogeg, about Grama Garmi, and in general thinking practically about the ways in which cases in Bava Kama can be as contemporary as you like. Just sort of to get the juices flowing. Yesterday, we spent our time on Amud Aleph, Chavav Amud Aleph, looking at the curiosity. The Mishnah begins with Adam Ruv Yol, and Shogeg amazing, but then introduced Chovel, and the Gemara said that what? That the point of that Seifa was to say that yes, Chovel is chayv b'shogeg on Nezek, but on the other hand, Chovel is potter on the Dal Dvarim, and the other four of the Chamisha Dvarim, if it's b'shogeg. So while Nezek, you're chayv b'shogeg, but Sari Pushev is Boshas, and you are potter b'shogeg. That was the upshot of the last few lines of the Gemara, Chavav Amanah. So now the Gemara, we turn on top of Bez, the Gemara wants to say, well, we're not immediately. Where does this come from? Where does it come from? Amar Chizkiya, V'chein Tanu Devei Chizkiya. It's Chizkiya, and also the Brisa was said over in his base Medrash. They said it's based on the pasuk, petza tachas potza. That's one of the tachas phrases in the Mishpatim. Ein tachas ein, shein tachas shein, and chabura tachas chabura, kaviya petza. So, what do we learn from petza tachas potza? That's but what our Gemara wants to know is what do we learn from petza tachas potza. Chabura is a wound, and so is petza, or an injury. So petza tachas, pats chabur has nothing to do with the Talmud Torah, getting together for Talmud Torah, which if you want to be technical, would be a chavura. But lamaase, few people who give chavuros call them chavuros, usually they call them chaburos. But yes, to give a chavura, hopefully in yeshiva, does not mean to wound other people, it means to share Torah in a group setting. Anyhow, coming back, that's chabura tachas chabura. And the pasuk in Mishpatim also says petza tachas potza. So what do we learn? That pasuk, as you saw, seems a little bit repetitious. You want to tell me you have to pay ayin tachas ayin is the source that the Gemara tells us about Rikhas at the beginning of Perek HaPovel. You have to pay nezek. Okay, so I got it. If I caused you damage, I have to pay for it. Ayin shein tachas shein, yad tachas yad, regel tachas regel. Kaviya, chabura, petza, what's this all about? So each phrase teaches me another din. What am I taught? Kaviya tachas kaviya, burn for a burn, means I have to pay for burning someone, which is an example of tsar. And petza tachas potza is lechaivo al hashoge kemezid bi'al ha'ones keratzan. That teaches me that I'm chayiv to pay. Even b'shogeg, even b'ones. Remember we saw yesterday the Mitzvah Hashas on Amud Aleph, Chavav Amud Aleph, had raised the question whether our Mishnah says ones, or does it say asleep, yashen. Right? So here this Brisa has ones. You have to pay, even if you're b'shogeg, you have to pay even b'ones. What's that talking about, by the way? Who has to pay even b'shogeg, even b'ones?
Adam,
right? Chovel. Right? What does Rashi say? Minon imili, the nezek chayva filu shogeg, the chayva nezek, Adam, is chayva nezek even b'shogeg? Petza tachas potza, says Rashi, kroy yaseru, as we're just saying, it seems like a redundant, superfluous, unnecessary phrase in the pasuk. Because you already told me, yayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, yata, you saw that pasuk. Yes. You have all these very similar sounding phrases. So what added din is petza tachas potza teach me? Oh, it's a hach drasha. It's added for the fog for this drasha. Baksiv, ki yitain it mumbam yiso kasher asa ken yasibo. It already said it. Kaviya chabura darshim bachovel. She says, by the way, as a postscript, if you're wondering, and how about kaviya tachas kaviya? How about chabura tachas chabura? So the Gemara doesn't address it here, but the Gemara addresses it when you get to the eighth part. Okay. But right now, we're raising petza tachas potza because that one is relevant to us. Because that's the source that you're chayiv, even b'shogeg, even b'onas. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Really? That's what it's for? I thought it's for something else. Hi, mi boy, le, litin tar makim nezik. No! Pesachas Pot says, necessarily teach me a different din. What din of tsar bimakom nezek? That you have to pay for tsar even when there's also nezek. What does that mean, tsar bimakom nezek? So Rashi explains, afilu hecha de'ika nezek mishalem nami tsar. Even a case where there was real permanent damage done to the person's body, and you're going to be paying 5, 6, maybe 7 digits for nezek, the nebuch, the person lost his sight, nebuch, the person permanently lost use of a limb, you're going to be paying real nezek, still you also pay tzar. I might have thought maybe when the Torah said tzar, it's only a case there's no nezek. After all, we learned from kivia that kivo b'shvud al sipronim. You burn kivia could sometimes be without any permanent damage. You have a nebuch, a shvud. You have a hot spit from the grill. You have a metal poker essentially. It's been sitting in the fire. It's hundreds of degrees hot. And a nasty person or a careless person touches the burning hot tip of that spit to someone else's fingernail. That's incredible. Sorry. On the other hand, no permanent damage, and you hurt his fingernail. Right? I would have thought maybe the whole chiddush of tsar paying tsar is when there's no nezek. When there's no nezek, then you pay tsar. Lo afcha say mikaspe, you haven't reduced his value, you haven't reduced his functionality. It was very, very painful. But there's no nezek. And Rashi says, and we'll get this, ulahach drasha mapkin le bachovel. In case you're wondering, where did we get it from? Where did we get this idea from that Petzatach has pot says for the second did of tzar b'makom nezek, it is, as you saw, later in Achovel, that we use Pasatach and Pasha to teach me the din of tzar, afilu b'makom nezek.
Which Gemara?
Pehei and So that's our Gemara says, we're looking for a source for our din. Right? And you said, it's Pasatach and Pasha. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, that one's already taken. That one's already taken for tzar b'makom nezek, that you're chayv tzar even b'makom nezek. Right? So the Gemara is coming back to our Gemara on the fourth line. The Gemara says, well, there's an answer to that. Im kein, l'chtov kura petza b'potza. If all the Torah wanted to tell me was that other din of tzar b'makom nezek, you could have used two words. Petza b'petza. Petza b'potza. My tachas petza. What's added through the extra word tachas? Sounds like it's more robust, it's more expensive. Shmami not tarti. So that tells me, that indicates that there are two dinim going on here. So that's what our Gemara says, that the fact that it's written not as a two-word phrase, but as a three-word phrase, petza, tachas, potza, that phrase, three-word phrase in Parshas Mishpatim can teach me two dinim. Apparently unrelated dinim. One is that you're chayv on tzar yivim makom nezek, and the other one is our din. Our din. As Rashi told us, nezek is chayv b'shalim. Okay. Now, Tosis number one. So let's dig a little deeper. Take a question or two. Yeah. No.
So does the Gemara elsewhere dash in each tachas?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. You gotta take a look.
It's the flow of the pasuk. It's gonna say ayin tachas ayin shein.
Correct. You gotta take a look. Hold on, see.
I'm going to ask that, meaning, if you're going to say that that's why it has tachas, then you better have a second drush for every single tachas.
Perhaps. Perhaps or perhaps not. It may be...
Just that tachas teaches something or something.
You said that just like, this tachas is drush, once you drush in this tachas, then all the other ones have to line up.
Yeah.
Meaning, the whole chiddush of the drasha is you would have thought it should have said patsa b'patsa, but if every other one is tachas, 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 you would have thought it says it should say tachas.
You have the same question.
Yes, and I'm not sure. You got to take a look on a chovel and see. I don't remember. I'll be honest. But I will say that it may be a good kasha. It's a natural kasha to ask. I think it's a sharp kasha to ask. It may be indeed that we do darshan every tachas, but it certainly is also possible that we only darshan them. The indication is that there's a lot going on, so wherever the phrase lends itself to multiple ideas, we would darshan those multiple ideas. It may not be a kasha, though, if there are phrases that don't. The language doesn't indicate two ideas. It only indicates one idea. So why do you have all of them? So that turns it around. As Yoni just said, well, once there's a reason to have tachas by some of them, so then it could be that we'll already fill in the tachas, the tachas by the rest. It may be, I'm not sure, it may be we darshan all of them, or maybe we darshan them whenever. The language of Petzah does apparently imply both ideas. So normally we would have said, this phrase implies two different ideas. They only has capacity for one din, so let's figure out which is the most likely, which is the best read. Once you have the extra space, the tachas, that indicates there's capacity for up to two din. So if there are two ideas that the language indicates, we'll take them both. If there aren't, okay. So that's, after all, Rabbi Kiva reminds us from time to time, Dibritar Kalashim Banana. We're not necessarily, there could be turns of phrase that are there because that makes it smoother. But whenever there's an option, whenever there's a turn of phrase and there's an option, something that it indicates, so then we would say the Torah is indicating that. So that there may be an in-between. You got to take a look at Chopin, you got to see whether every tachas is Nidrash or not. One more question, Adav.
Yeah, Rashi here seems to be behaving like Nezek is very monetary. Right? But the reason why you think that you wouldn't be chayev for touching the burning hot poker to someone's finger now is Dilo Apakta in Chasme, because he didn't suffer any monetary loss.
But you didn't, or the law, after saying the Chasme probably means you didn't reduce his value.
Right, so that seems odd, because we said that. We were saying earlier that Shevet, you only pay someone Shevet as if they were a Shomer Kishuim because you cover their other monetary losses in Nezek, like the losses there aren't. So that would seem to imply that there's something more to the Nezek than just the monetary gain and loss. Right? So why is Rashi acting like it's...
Well, let's just clarify. Yesterday we went through, we touched on the Chamish Dvar. We did not explain Shevet clearly. It's a good point. So Bo Nasbir... Reuven causes personal injury to Shimon's body, to Shimon's person. So two of the things that might happen are, number one, Shimon will need time to recuperate before he can get back to normal work, to recuperate from the event. It may also be that Shimon suffered a permanent loss of functionality. Right? So if there was in a case where there's no permanent loss of functionality, Reuven beat up Shimon, and Shimon's out of commission for a while, but ultimately he'll be back to the way he was. In 2 weeks from now, he'll be as good as new. So then we just pay Shabbos. I was earning $200 a day. And he was out of work for 3 days, and then he'll be back to work earning $200 a day. So the Shabbos is you got to pay $200 a day times 3 days. Right? So that's Shabbos alone. In a case where there's Nezek also, we're about to take a look at the Gemara and pay him a basic. Gemara says you do pay Shabbos even Makam Nezek, just like you pay Sar Makam Nezek. How does that work, though? So in a case where there was Nezek, where formerly the guy was earning $200 a day, but now... He lost eyesight, he lost hearing, he lost smell, he lost use of a hand, whatever it is, and he could no longer, so sometimes that won't impact his earning capacity, but sometimes it will. Sometimes he lost his sense of smell, that may not, for most jobs, that won't reduce your earning capacity, but if you work in a food line, you're a chef, you're a wine taster, the guy's a professional wine taster, 25 years of reputation built up. And now he got into an accident, and his nerve damage, there was damage to his nose, he can't smell anymore. So the guy was earning $500 a day. And now he's going to have to retrain and retool, and he'll be earning $100 a day. Right? So Nezek is going to be hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars for the permanent loss of smell. He had been an expert smeller. He had been a world-class smeller, and now he can't smell. So he, you know, I'll have to do something else. I'll have to be a coder instead. Well, I'll do something else. So Nezek is going to cover the fact that for the rest of his life, he's not doing that type of work he used to, that high-end work he used to do. But then, so Sheves is not, he used to earn 500 a day. When he recuperates, he would earn 100 a day. Sheves is not 500 per day for the days that work, because that the 500, that's already taken care of. We say, but even after the Nezek, he's still, going forward, he'll still be earning 100 a day, but that's once he gets back to work. For the next 2 weeks, he can't do anything because he has to recuperate from the accident. So you pay 100 a day for the next 2 weeks. That's how Nezek and Sheves interact. And I think that's consistent with what, at least it's not at odds with what Rashi said. Now, Tosus here tells us, the beginning of the top Tosus, Chavavim, please. Haimi boile litan tar makum Nezek. The Tosus raises another question. Right? Rashi raised a question, though, if you're wondering, just Petza, how about Kevin Chabur? He says, don't worry, we'll get to an Achor. Tosus raised a different question of other members of the category. Not other psukim, but other types of payment. We spoke about Sarv makum Nezek. Okay, how about Ripui makum Nezek? How about Shevis makum Nezek? How about Goshes makum Nezek? Are those also, where do those stand? The Tosa says, take a look at the Gemara later, which we will do in a moment. Ripoy the Sheves, Uboshes, Kulu Mitzar Yofinan. There isn't a separate pasuk for you to tell me that each one's Chayv Makom Nezek. We learn them all from Tsar, that what? The Chayv Makom Nezek. All of them are applied in Makom Nezek. How do I know this, says Tosa? Kidimashna Ba'achovel. That's the impression you get from the Gemara Nachovel. The Amr. The Amma, the Gemara there quotes a brisa, Tana v'chulon chayim v'tashul makam nezek. Minohani mili, Amr v'zvim, Mishayet Rava, Pratzatachas Batza. So we learn them all from Tzar. For a Papa, we learn them all from Ripoy. Because the Gemara didn't quote any psukim for Boshes or Sheves. So apparently one pasuk does it all. Let's take a look at that Gemara, then I'll be glad to take more questions. But first, let's follow Tosis' instructions. Yeah. Tosis, tell us a look at the Gemara.
Don't we learn from Rifoy? We learn Rifoy by itself. Rapa Yerapa?
Well, you're definitely not learning, you definitely don't have a pasuk for Sheves or Boshes. So what Tosis is assuming is that it's a machlokes. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Let's take a look at Payam Viz. Again, starting from Payam and off the very bottom, Tana! The chula mishtan lakum nezek. Number one, the brisa at the very bottom of Pehem and Av tells me the div. It's not just sarv makum nezek. It's not just ripu makum nezek. It certainly is also true that you do pay boshes makum nezek and you do pay sheves makum nezek. The brisa is clear about that. Where does it come from? That's already not tanaim, but tanaim, we don't have a record from the tanaim as to where it comes from. They no doubt had thoughts about it. We do have a record what the Amorim said about it. Minani Mili, bottom line payment of. First we hear from Rizvid, Mishmei de Rava. Rizvid quotes from Rava, Omar Kra, Petzatachas, Potza, Litin, Sarvamakam Nezek. And the Gemara Chaz is over where we had our Gemara as well. I have a boy, the Rava Shogi, amazing, Onus Karatzon, turning to Amad Beis. Well, Imke Nichta Kra, Petza, Bib Potza. My Petzatachas, Potza, Shraim Natarti. Good. That's what Rizvid quotes in the name of Rava. And Rashi here tells you, you should look in Chavav Amabez to get the other half of the story. But then Rav Papa quotes from Rava. Rav Papa Shmeid Rava Amar. Amar Kav, Rapa Yerapi. Litein Rafuva Makam Nezek. That's how you know. Ripui, you're Chayiv and Ripui, even in a case of Nezek. Even though there was permanent damage, and you're going to have to be paying astronomical sums for the permanent damage, you're also going to have to pay for the Ripui to get the guy back to wherever he can get back to. Right now, he's totally out of commission. He'll go to the doctor and he'll get medication, at least, well, physical therapy, whatever it is, to at least restore some functionality. You have to pay Nezek as well as Ripui. Now, so let's hold off for a moment at this point. We're about to dive into the Gemara is going to have a back and forth about how that drasha works. How do we learn Ripui B'Makom Nezek from Virapi Rapi? Before we get to those technicalities, let's just stop here for a moment and recognize the Gemara never No Talmud of Rava steps forward and says, aha, and here's a pasuk for Sheva's Makom Ezek, or aha, here's a pasuk for Boshas Makom Ezek. So clearly, we're learning Sheva's and Boshas from one of these. Right. So Tosas understood that everyone agrees that there's one pasuk, and you learn the other three from that one. In other words, that Rav Zvid and Rav Papa are arguing with each other. It's a machlokas. It's not that he's giving the source for one din, he's giving the source for another din. No, Tosas by us and Chaval in the days is machadesh, that this is a machlokas Talmidei Rava. Maybe Rava mentioned both in the different shiurim, but the debate was which was Rava's maskana. But Tosas reads, and again, I'm suggesting the reason why he reads that way is because Shavas and Boshes clearly have the same din, as the Brisa tells us, and the Gemara didn't feel the need to find the pasuk for it. So apparently Gemara Tosas, I think that's what Tosas was driving those, apparently Gemara took as a Devar Pashat that any one of these drushas will teach you to all the others. So then presumably, you don't need two psukim, one for Shavat, one for Ripoy, one for Tsar, so it's either or. Perhaps another in, yeah. Okay, so that's where Tosas is coming from. Now, let's number one see how the Gemara develops the drasha of Rapi Rapi, and then I want to see how the Gemara ends the sugya on Pehem Beis. Both will have important things to teach me. Number one, the Gemara says again, Amar Rapapa quote from Rava, that Amar, a different source for paying Dalad Dvar B'Makom Nezek, Rapi Rapi! Rapi Rapi teaches me Refu B'Makom Nezek, the double lashon apparently. The Gemara just said Rak Shivto Yitain V'Yirape. It didn't say Shivto Noson Yitain. It just said Shivto Yitain. So why didn't it say Rak Shivto Yitain V'Yirape? That would have worked. But you have to say V'Rapo Yirape. Why the doubling of the verb? The doubling of the verb typically intensifies it. Either means you do it more often or you do it more intensely. So that drasha you have all over Shas. That style of drasha. Nasa titan afil mei pa'amim. Hashem teshivim afil mei pa'amim. Sometimes it's quantity, sometimes it's quality. See, the Gemara says, Rapa Yerape teaches me there are more cases in which you have to pay. Just Yerape probably would have only taught me pay Ripoy when there's nothing else. Pay Ripoy. But maybe I could have thought it was limited to Shalom Makom Nezek. How do I know that Ripoy applies in a broader set of cases? Oh, I have a double verb. Didn't you say Yerape? You said Rapo Yerape. That means you have to pay in more cases. Not only Shalom B'Makom Nezek, but even B'Makom Nezek. Let's see the Hemshech HaGemara, then we'll ask the question. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Once again, we need this drasha for a different idea. Haimi Barlech, Lutanvei B'Shmael. I need the double verb, not to teach me Ripoy B'Makom Nezek, but to teach me what the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel's Beis HaMedrash teaches us from this pasuk. The Tanit Rabbi Shmuel, V'Rapo Yirape Mikan Shenit Nirushus L'Rofe L'Rapo. V'Rapo Yirape teaches me, and this is already quoted on Peyam and Aleph near the bottom, and now it's being re-quoted Peyam and Beis, that a doctor has the right to heal. Apparently, I would have thought that there's some sort of lack of bitachon in going to a doctor. I would have thought you just have to take it. Whatever happens, happens. Why should I have the right to intervene? They would have thought some sort of lack of bitachon. Kamash Malan, no! This pasuk, I would have thought that. And this pasuk tells me that's wrong. I want to come back to that point as a side point in a moment, but first let's follow the flow of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, how can I learn Ripu Makom Nezek from this double language if I need the double language to teach me Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos? So this will be the next couple lines of the Shaktvatara, a little bit confusing, so pay careful attention. M.K., the Gemara says, M.K., if the Pasuk was only teaching me Rishus L'Rofe, Nichtav Krover Rofe Rape. And if all you want to teach, all the double language is teaching me is that medical intervention is mutter, Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos, then the double language would have been the Rofe Rape. The doctor heals, But that would really speak to Rishos LeRov for the Rappos. Why did it say Rappi Yirappi? Shmami no, Litin Rufu Makam Nezek. The fact that the double language that the Torah uses is Rappi Yirappi, Rappo, rather than Rofe, that indicates we're talking about Tashlume Ripui B'Makam Nezek. Now the Gemara says, let's take that same question and turn it around. Va'akati mi'boyle lichda amr l'misnebe krabi ripoy. But I still need the l'misne be krabi ripoy, the doubling. Usually tough nun aleph means in Aramaic is equivalent of shin nun hay in terms of Mishnah, of reciting or repeating a teaching from the Tanam, Katani. But here we mean the other Thai sense of shin nun hay, shnayim. We need the doubling of the word ripui, rapo yirape, to teach me kidamon, what I just said. Namely, I need the double word to tell me ripui v'makam nezek. So how do I know Rosh Hashanah for the rapos? That's the reverse of the question I asked before. Before we said, we need it for Rosh Hashanah for the rapos, so how do I know ripui v'makam nezek? Now we say, let's turn it around. If I need ripui v'makam nezek, how do I know Rosh Hashanah for the rapos? So the Gemara says, well, for that I also have a same type of answer. It could have been said differently. On the one hand, we could have said Verofa Yirape instead of Verapo Yirape. On the other hand, we could have said just a straight double verb. Le Makra, O Rapo Rapo, O Yirape Yirape. And if you just wanted to tell me Ripo Makanaze, they could have just given me a straight up unadorned doubled verb. The same word twice. So in other words, if I just want to say Ripu Makam Nezek, I would have said Rapo, 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 Yirape, Yirape. If I just want to say Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos, I would have said V'Rofe Yirape. So I could have doubled the verb like this for just one din. I could have doubled the verb like that for just one din. But instead, the Gemara, the Torah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu chose to write in the Torah a third version, Rapo Yirape. It's neither a pure double, nor including the word rofe. And the fact that we had that other type of rapo irape teaches me both. Not as a doubled word, but we avoided using either type of simpler terminology, a simple double, or a straight reference to the rofe to the doctor. In fact, we have sort of this more nuanced, sophisticated terminology that indicates that there are two added dinim. Not only is it just the word yirape teaching me that you're chayav to pay ripui, but the fact that it's doubled and the way that it's doubled teaches me two additional slots. Number one, the one slot is to teach me Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos, and the other slot is to teach me ripui b'makam. Yes. Okay, so far what we just did is we gave two sources. Again, as our Tosas Chavava base told us, two sources to a machlokes, Talmidei Rava, which is the source that all the Dalet Dvarim are in force, even when you're also paying nezek. Either we're learning from Tzar, from Petzah Tachas Potza, or learning from Ripoy, from Rapo Yirape. Either way, there's a pasuk by one of them that implies even, it's so strong that that Chiyuv Tashlumin applies even Makam Nezek, and we expand to all of them. That's what the Gemara says. I do want to return to a little bit to Rishus L'Rov for the Rappos, but let's return to that in the last few minutes. Let's continue the Hemshech HaGemara. I know there are people waiting for questions, but let's continue the Hemshech HaGemara. Let's finish the Gemara and see where it takes us. So we had a Brisa that said Peheim and Aleph began, the bottom Peheim and Aleph began with a Brisa that says all of them are Mishtalein, even Malkam Nezek. And there's some drasha or another for that. But now the Gemara says, well, saying that I need a drasha means that otherwise I would have thought that the pasuk for Ripoy, the pasuk for Shabbos, the pasuk for Boshes, the pasuk for Tzar, they're only talking about Shalom Malkam Nezek. Do they even come up Shalom Malkam Nezek? Are there cases where they could all come up Shalom Malkam Nezek? The Gemara feels a need to demonstrate that there are cases. And to be made that I need a drasha to tell me, b'makom nezek, you're also chayav. Michalal, the Gemara says, the mashkachas lo shlom makom nezek. From the fact that we had a hava, meaning maybe each of these psukim, for shevas, for ipoy, for boshas, for tzar, it's not clear to me that it even applies makom nezek. It's not self-evident, it applies makom nezek, means there are cases where each one exists without nezek. Where is that? Because it's easy to think about a case of nezek that also involves all other four. I mean, typically a case of nezek will also involve nebuch. There was permanent damage done to another person's body. There was clearly with tzar. There's most likely boshas, and there certainly will be ripui and shavas. But are there cases of all these without tzar, without nezek? The Gemara feels need to prove that such cases. Let's construct those cases. And you might be wondering as you read this, do we need the Gemara to help us figure this out? We couldn't throw this on our own. And what does the Gemara say? The Gemara said, let's go through. Hechi mashkachaslu. Where do you find them? The number one, tsar. Where do you find tsar that nezek? Ah, kidekasani. That's the Tanam tells us, tsar kavo b'shvud b'masmer. I feel it's a porno. You burnt it with a hot piece of metal on his nail. Makom she'ein lo sechabur. Doesn't he make a wound? Doesn't he make a wound? Where's the case of ripui alone? Where's the case of ripui alone? Davikoyv le'imidis. Something hurt him. He had some sort of wound already. V'salik. It was getting better. And then, here comes, Shimon had a wound. He fell, he cut himself, whatever. And his wound was healing. And Reuben came along and exacerbated that wound that was in the middle of healing. He aggravated it. Isolay Sama Kharifa Vahvil Bisra. He came along and put on such a powerful medication on the wound that now it discolored his skin. Sarak La Osve Le Sama Leankute Yavna de Bisra. Now he's gonna need some new medication in order to restore the color of his skin. Hey, you think about these cases. These cases seem so convoluted.
Is that actual nezek, though?
No, that's a case of no nezek.
Not nezek.
You see, listening to this Gemara, we're getting such complicated cases. Is it so hard to think of a case where with their medical bills with no permanent damage? There's loads of cases. I mean, I hurt you, I punch you in the face, and you're bleeding, and it's bad, but there's no permanent damage done. But you need to go to a doctor. Something's funny, right? Then Sheves. What's the Gemara's case of Sheves? The Hadke Bindruna. You lock the guy into a room. You imprison someone. Forced imprisonment. So he couldn't go to work because he was locked in the room. There's no Nezek, no permanent damage to his body, but there's Sheves. Again, it's an interesting case. And the Rush and the Ketzois, everyone has a lot to say about this case. There is a fascinating rush here, and there is a fascinating source, but again, so complicated. How did you mean Druno Batle? He locked him in the room, then he couldn't go to work. What's Boshas? The Rukle Biape. You spat in his face. End of the Gemara. Well, what's the Gemara's point? Well, these funny cases. So, Lechora, you know what the Gemara is trying to accomplish with these cases? They're not only cases of without X without Nezek, it's tsar without nezek, it's Sheves without nezek.
Without all the other things.
Exactly. It's Sheves without any of the other four. It's tsar without any of the other four. It's easy to think of a case where there's tsar and Sheves and Ripa. Yeah! You punched the guy, you hurt him, you wounded him, but there's no permanent damage done. Well, the reason I think why the Gemara is giving you these convoluted cases is not only to show, as Tosus told us we would find here, that you have the Dalal Dvar without nezek. It's each of them without any of the others. What's a case of Sheves without any tsar? Or boshes or ripui? That's hard to think of. I mean, you didn't do anything.
He exacerbated his wound.
You didn't hurt him in any way. You didn't injure him in any way. But yet it's Sheves. How could it be? And why is he out of work if he wasn't injured in any way? It must be. You force him to relax. And that's where the Rush and Skys and others get so particular talks about. In other words, if I slashed his tires there, I would be potter. Because that's Adam HaMazik Mamo. The only reason why I'm chayv in the sheva is because he actually did something to his body, which a Rush already talks about, Pubu Charifta talks about. The point of Hadki being Druna, they actually laid hands on him and I shoved him into a room. And I locked the door. Oh, so you actually did something to his body. You just didn't hurt his body. You didn't injure his body. You didn't embarrass him. But you did so, you did a maisa to his body that caused lost work. So that's a case of Sheves. But Sheves only. Oh, Boshes. He wants something that, again, is on his body. But Sheves even more. But Boshes even more important. That's direct contact. But not only doesn't cause any injury, doesn't even cause pain. What did I do? I could be Mevayishim B'dvarim. I could say nasty things, insult people, call people terrible embarrassment. But Boshes has to be that I'm actually being Chovel. I'm actually doing something to his body. What do I do to his body? It embarrassed him, but didn't hurt it. Okay, slap a guy across the face. There may not be any Sheves or Ripoy, but there will be Tsar, as well as Boshes. Versus, oh, if you spat at him, that doesn't hurt. But it did touch him and embarrasses him without causing him physical pain, emotional pain. Boshes without Tsar. And then we also understand with that the seemingly convoluted Ripoy case, it was meant to be a case where there's only Ripoy. There's no Tsar. How do you have Ripoy without Tsar? That's the question. Oh, some kind of case, you discolor the skin, but maybe it's no Boshes either because it's already had a wound. So maybe it's not really embarrassing there's a discoloration because he has a wound there anyways, but he's still going to have to treat the problem. And the Tsar case also, the point was not only it didn't cause any permanent damage, but as we quoted from the Tanakh, it even caused a Chabura. There's no wound. It's pure Tsar. There's no need for Ripoy. There's no need for Sheves. He's not wounded. It hurt. It hurt, and then it's done. It was intense pain, but once it's done, nothing happens. So that's Tsar without Ripoy. Oh. We would maybe say he twisted his arm. He twisted his arm, but then after you let go, that was painful. But after you let go, he doesn't need to go to the doctor. It hurts. It hurts. You hit him on a pressure point, it hurt, and it's done. That's an example of that, particularly a striking example, is a kavo b'shvud. Now, let me leave you with a question and a point in the 2 minutes that we have left. A question that this gets us thinking about, which we'll address in Mitzvah next time. In thinking about how this core din, again, that our Gemara already raised, and Tosa sent us this Gemara, we just saw now, it really is very much, now it's Sar B'makam Nezek, but each one B'makam, Shalom B'makam any other one, versus B'makam any other one, and it gets you wondering, they're not all created the same. The Birkas Avram points this out. He says, I understand Sar B'makam Nezek is different than let's say Sheves B'makam Nezek. And this goes back to Nadav's point from before. I understand the Havamina of saying, Sheves B'makam Nezek should have been Pater. Why? Because that had to do, they're both financial. Right? Because the Nezek had to do with the monetary loss, and the Sheves has to do with monetary loss. I could have said, you're paying or you ain't paying Nezek, millions of dollars for the loss, that sort of subsumes and crowds out the Sheves. But Rebbe Tzvi wants to know, why would I have had a Havamina that Tsar Repotter, Malcolm Nezek? It's two separate things, two separate accounts. One is about money, but Tsar is not about money. Tsar is about, Tsar is painful. What does that have to do with, has that to do with my balance sheet? Nezek has to do with my balance sheet. Ripoy has to do with my balance sheet. Sheva has to do with my balance sheet. I'm out cash. But Tsar is just, you caused me pain, here's how you repay for it. It's not like I lost money. They're so unlike each other. So what would have been that? Lemaskana, yes, you're chayv on Tsar v'malkam Nezek. But what was the havmin that wouldn't be? What are the pasuk for that? Ripoy v'malkam Nezek, I understand. Tsar v'malkam Nezek? It's a much harder svar. Question to think about for tomorrow.
For Boshes.
Another question to think about, and Boshes perhaps also, right? Another question to think about for tomorrow is what's with this? The Gemara mentioned an important sidebar. It had been the a core concept of Peyem and Alf. They came up, we were reading Peyem and Beis, this Mikan Shnit Roshos Rofe L'Rapos. That too, same type of question. What's the Hava Mina not? What's the Hava Mina not? And a different twist on the question is, why do we need extra pasuk for them? As soon as the Torah says, Yirape, that you have to pay a doctor, obviously the implication is you're allowed to go to a doctor. Otherwise, what are you paying a doctor for? What do I need an extra twist of Rapa Yirape to tell me you're allowed to go to a doctor? The very core gufadin of Yirape teaches me you're allowed to go to a doctor. What's being added? What's the Rishus L'Rapos above and beyond basic Rebbe? We'll take up both questions in its next.